Morning, David.
Good morning, Damien.
Good to talk to you. I'll come to you in a second, David, and thanks for taking our call. I appreciate it. Olivia's originally from Roscommon, from a lovely little village there, and she came to Dunmore in the last few years and married to a man working in the construction, and the two of them are blow-ins to Dunmore, but they absolutely love Dunmore. Yes. And one little boy, and he's looking to get a place in school. So again, we'll talk about that another day and remote working and all sorts of different things. Okay, so you're in Dunmore in June 2023. You were queuing outside of one of the coffee shops there, were you?
That's right, yes.
What happened?
Yeah, so it was Friday morning. I work remotely, as I shared with you. Very lucky to be able to see that. And I also have a podcast. And that morning I was due to record a podcast, would you believe, about a brother of mine that had passed away in the year 2000. Derek was his name. And you know, I always share this part of it because I really believe my brother was with me that day. But I said I'd pop down and go for a coffee, get a treat before returning home. So down I went, and that's when the unimaginable happened. I went into the coffee shop, I always remember what I ordered, a skinny cappuccino and a cinnamon bun. And a few seconds later, say I stood outside and I was standing in front of the coffee hatch, and within about 5 seconds, all I remember in that moment was hearing like a really loud explosion. And then I just remember being struck from the side, and I had no idea what had happened. I had been facing like towards the coffee hatch, so I hadn't seen anything. I had no idea what was happening to me. And I vividly remember, like, in them moments, what was going through my mind. They're moments I will never forget as long as I live. So the first thing that went through my mind was James, who I was telling you about there. He had just turned two. And you can imagine any mother, like, in that situation, what they'd be thinking about. Like, it just felt, Damien, in that moment, like my heart had broke in a million pieces, because I just didn't think that I would see him again.
Was he with you?
I had just dropped him actually into where he was in creche at the time in Waterford, and then I returned. I went for a sea swim in the lovely beach in Dunmore, then went home to get changed, and then that's when everything, yeah.
So again, the first thought comes into your mind is your little two-year-old boy, and the pain. Talk to me about it.
Well, it's, you know, physically, a lot of people ask me, you know, what was it like to be hit by a car you didn't even see? And it's so hard to describe it because I never experienced anything like it. But what I would say is it was like being struck by just something huge. It was like a full body jolt from the side. And after I was hit, I was then, like, the impact pushed me up against my car, and then I hit the pavement, and I had multiple fractures this side, multiple fractures that side. And when I hit the pavement, I believe that's when my lumbar spine got fractured in multiple places. So, while that was happening, I thought that my life was about to end. It was just so traumatic, so frightening. And, you know, in them moments, when I think back to my body was shaking uncontrollably. It was the shock. And when I opened my eyes, all I remember seeing was my body covered in rubble and in blood. And I could actually taste rubble in my mouth. And I just could not believe what was after happening. I couldn't understand it. I still had no idea what had happened. And yeah, then it was just like complete survival mode. Like, I was really struggling to breathe when it happened. Even like to, you know, I just couldn't even shout for help. Like, nothing was coming out of my mouth. It was horrendous. But, you know, Damien, I always bring myself back to the present moment when I talk about it too. It was horrendous. It is in the past now, thank God. And I feel so grateful to be here, healthy and strong enough to even talk about it and to give back to Critical after what they done for me that day.
David, listening to Olivia, you've heard her talk before, And I suppose every time you hear it, it probably still feels as passionate and as raw as the first time you heard it, does it?
Oh, it certainly does, Damien. And if I could just commend Olivia for the bravery that she shows every time she speaks, because I can't imagine how difficult it must be for her to recount those moments, especially with the impact, both physically and mentally, that she's told me that it had on her. And I would just like to thank her for helping us to shine a light on the great work that our volunteers do right across the country, specifically in Waterford. Olivia has, and I'm sure will be talking about Dr. Paul Campbell, who's a fantastic volunteer of ours. He has one of our vehicles in Waterford 116 times. He's answered the call this year so far to date in Waterford, and he does it all voluntarily, and they're just amazing people. So thank you, Olivia.
Can I ask you, Paul, David, critical, you have 300 volunteers across the country. You're looking for help as well as a charity in terms of fundraising this Christmas. You have a new Christmas campaign to light up 1,308 lights, one for every call answered in 2024. How do people get in touch with you? How do people give money to you?
Well, we have it all on the website, criticalcharity.ie. It's all there. It's pretty self-explanatory. There's another interview with Olivia on there that I did. It's nowhere near as good as the one that you're doing, Damien, I'll just say. But it does. It is 45 minutes. It's a very detailed conversation that we had there. You can find out more about Olivia's story. And if I can just take a moment just to publicly thank both Dr. Paul Campbell. He's an absolute asset to Waterford, and we're so proud that he volunteers with us. We also have off-duty responders in Waterford, based in places like Tremor, Dungarvan, Passage East. They basically take our life-saving bags. They're members of the National Ambulance Service. Not only do they do the ambulance during the day, they then volunteer. They volunteer with our bags when they're in their own communities. And it really does demonstrate the spirit of community, the length and breadth of Ireland. But Waterford really does have that spirit. It's very much alive and well. So thank you very much to all of them. And thank you to Olivia.
David, I'll let you go. I want to talk to Olivia again, and we'll give out all those details again. Listen, thank you, David. I know Paul personally. He's a lovely, lovely guy, a really, really good doctor, and he's got a great heart, and you're very lucky to have him, and all those volunteers that are with you, David. Fair play to them.
Thank you. And we certainly are very grateful for all the time they give us. And if I can just say, Damien, just if I may, that we get no, our doctors get no direct government support, which means that we have to do fundraising campaigns like this. In an ideal world, we shouldn't have to do this for the job that people like Dr. Paul and other doctors that we have across the country and our first responder groups do. You know, there are other countries that have dual funded models. I've been trying to seek a meeting with the Minister of Health unsuccessfully pretty much for the whole of this year. So if anyone can help me in that respect, including WLR, I'd really appreciate that.
Absolutely. We will certainly, 100%. David, I'll talk to you again soon. Mind yourself. God bless. Thank you.
Thanks a million. Happy Christmas.
Thanks, bye-bye. David. Happy Christmas. David Tighe there, Chief Executive of Critical. And we'll give out all the details in terms of the website and money, other aspects with that. So what happened straight after the crash? You were hit. You were still conscious, Olivia.
Yes.
Did you stay conscious all the time?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Even though, you know, more vivid memories came back to me in the months following it. I believe that was just my body's way of protecting me from some of the trauma. But so after this all happened, I was stuck on a part of the building that had collapsed during the crash. And then, so look, you can only imagine what was going through my mind. You know, I'm thinking about my son, thinking about my family. This is a really, like, one of the hardest memories or most painful memories I have of it. When I was looking at my legs, I I felt completely numb from my waist down. And in that moment, I thought I was paralysed. And I remember the sensation of feeling like my heart drop in that moment, because I said to myself, oh my God, like, this is how quickly accidents happen. This is how quickly your life can change. And I had this real vivid memory of not being ready to die. And then, so there was someone standing in front of me, queuing for coffee that day, and he was very lucky he didn't get struck, but he was the first person to come over to me. And, you know, I'm always so grateful to him. And, you know, I have visited everyone that helped me after this when I... Yeah, Charlie Boland.
Charlie. I know Charlie. That's lovely. That's lovely.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I have a lovely memory of seeing Charlie afterwards. And I said to myself, when I'm back walking again, I'm going to visit all of these people. So me and Eugene and James went to Charlie's house. And I remember he answered the door and he had a big smile. And I feel so emotional. We gave each other a big hug. And I went in and just had a lovely chat with him.
Yeah,
but he was great, and he was the first person to come to me. And God, I often feel sorry for Charlie. Like, he was going to get his coffee that morning. You know, he runs an English school in Dunmore, and then he's caught in the middle of all of this. So he was the first person. And then Clive, one of the paramedics, who I'll say hello to as well, in Waterford Hospital, he told me afterwards that 10 calls came in like seconds from people. And when someone rings the ambulance, that's when Paul, emergency medical responders, are notified. You know, they have, they get a text. And would you believe this? Two strange things that happened. One, I had just met Paul 2 weeks before the accident for the first time I was introduced to him. And second, when he got the text, he lives just 200 metres from where it happened. He was holding his medical bag in his hand, about to put it in his boot. When he got the text, he just turned and ran down because he knew it was close. So isn't that unbelievable? And that makes me really think, Damien, like, you know, there was, you know, even the fact that I was about to record a podcast about my brother, I felt my brother with me during my accident. I 100% know. And I think it's really important to say this, because so many people have lost people. Like, look at the news over the last few weeks. The amount of people that have lost their lives is just heartbreaking. So the next memory I have is of seeing Paul coming, and I'll never forget that moment, and I will never forget the relief I felt in that moment, because when you are in a vulnerable position like that, stuck on a building, not able to move, knowing that you have serious injuries, not knowing what is going on, then someone comes and they take control of the situation. They don't just bring, like, Paul didn't just bring his incredible medical expertise that day. He brought calmness to the situation. I can't tell you what that did for me, you know. Unbelievable.
Critical charity, all one word, criticalcharity.ie. We've only got a minute and a half left. I'd like to talk to you again at length about other aspects of this. How important are the likes of Paul and all the volunteers that work with Critical?
By donating to Critical, you are not just giving money, you are giving a lifeline to somebody in their most vulnerable moment. And also, you could be the reason that someone comes home this Christmas, and that a family doesn't have to deal with a devastating loss, because critical emergency responders, they can be the difference between life and death. I will never, ever forget what they did for me that day, what Paul did for me that day, what the firemen, the retained firemen in Dunmore East, I'd like to call out Robbie O'Brien there as well. Unbelievable people. I call them my guardian angels. And Clive, Luke, John Wilson, Stephen, all of the paramedics. I am telling you, they were like my guardian angels that day, Damien, and I am forever grateful to them.